Second hour, Aaron Domic and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday morning. Hope everybody's having a good day. The weather's nice. Temperatures are starting to cool down. And Titans got a win last night over Denver to start off their season. Don't forget, you can listen to us anywhere in the world. Yeah, it's really easy to do. Download the Game Nashville app. That's free and easy to do. You can enable Alexa Skill or Google Home, whether you have that set up in your home or your office place like I do. You can ask it to play 102.5 The Game. It's very easy. We can live stream from our website, which is thegamenashville.com. Our next guest could have done any of those ways to listen to us when he was out in Denver. Eric Bacharach is on the line with us, covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Eric, how you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Thanks for having me on.
What did you make of last night's win? What was your takeaway? Kind of give us your capsule of last night's victory.
It's kind of hard to put it into words because it felt like, you know, the entire time the Titans were just staving off disaster. But, you know, to me, this is a game that, you can't take for granted. The Broncos were 18-2 in their last 20 home games. Now, obviously, a big part of that, the fans, was mitigated by, an empty stadium, but it's still a really hard place to open a season in. You know, the Broncos were missing Cortland Sutton, which, you know, is a big part of their offense, but at the same time, the Titans were missing Adoree Jackson. Obviously, the field goal kicking for the Titans is an ongoing nightmare and a situation to continue to monitor. Kind of didn't feel real as it was unfolding last year, given, how much of a headache it was last year to see those struggles continue. But to see the Titans pull out a win in spite of that, I think is telling, because to me, the game itself really had the feel of a game that early last year they would have found a way to lose. Instead, you know, they found a way to win. And, I think overall the offense was okay. No explosive element that, you know, we saw so much last season. And the defense, to me, you know, had one or two bad series, but overall was pretty clutch, came up with a few big moments. And I think on the whole, you know, there was enough encouraging things here where you feel good about heading into week two, except, of course, the kicking game. To me, that's obviously the headline stealer here.
Mike Vrabel is going to talk today at 12:30. You know he's going to get asked a lot about Steven Kostkowski. He may even drop his head today because he'll be so tired of the questions. But with that being said, we've been discussing it the first hour of the show. You know, everybody's got their opinions. We've had people calling in, people texting in. What would you do? Would you roll the dice and stick with him and see if he can pull out of this? And it was just literally the worst night of his NFL career? Or would you cut bait and try to find a better option? What would you do, and how do you think Mike Vrabel is going to handle that today?
I think the move is probably to wait and see at least another week. You know, if you know, we see him miss, you know, let's say another two field goals this weekend, I think for sure that would be a cue to cut bait. But, you know, I don't know how many compelling options are out there, as far as guys that they could bring in, that the only in-house available option is Tucker McCann, undrafted rookie who was on the practice squad, who looked okay, had a couple of good days out there in training camp. You know, he kind of stayed steady with Greg Joseph before the team parted with him. So, you know, I think they roll with Kostkowski for at least another week. You know, Mike Vrabel said after the game yesterday that he was confident that it'll get corrected. I think in a lot of ways that could be interpreted as coach speak.
He's got to say that, but there's no proof of that.
Yeah.
I mean, between last year so far this year, there's no proof that they've got the kicking game figured out.
Absolutely. Going back to last year, that's the case. So, the reason I think they wait and see is just because they're invested in the guy. You know, they're financially committed to him, at this point. So, I think he looked okay as far as, you know, length and strength on his kicks, which, you know, to me was a little bit of a concern just coming off a hip surgery in October. It's not an easy decision as far as what they should do with him. I think you wait it out another week and see what happens there.
I was blown away by Jeffrey Simmons last night. And it's not because I didn't think he was good. It just he really, really stood out. And I feel like he's turned a corner and taken another step forward. And he is quickly turning into a guy that every team who faces the Titans is going to be in that meeting room on the offensive side of the ball planning around number 98.
Absolutely. And, you know, the funny thing is that last year we saw flashes of it. You know, even going back to his debut, you know, I think there were moments there where you kind of saw what he could become if he reached his full potential. And the thing with last year is that, you know, he played the entire season with a brace on his left knee, you know, was not that far removed from ACL surgery in February of 2019. And, you know, I think this offseason was really important for him in, you know, completely getting past that. You know, Simmons said himself that, you know, he wasn't fully healthy and I guess just himself playing last year and heading into this year, all of that was behind him. He felt much more himself. He showed up to training camp looking leaner, you know, if he could say that about a 310-pound person. And, you know, just more athletic, just looked like he had a lot more power in some of his moves. And you know, I think, as you said, that kind of showed itself yesterday. And I think, honestly, it's probably just a sign of things to come. And, you know, I think when you add a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, that only helps a guy like Jeffrey Simmons, who, you know, benefits from the opposing offense having to focus on another guy aside from just him. So I think he's poised for a huge season. I think the leap that we're going to see from him from year one to year two is going to be substantial.
Eric Bacharach is with us. He covers the Titans for the Tennessean. Eric, intriguing situation that they were forced into with the Dory Jackson's injury. First, update us on Jackson, because it's important for people to know that getting placed on injured reserve doesn't mean what it has used to mean. What it used to mean.
Yeah, exactly. It's not, you know, as far as that designation goes, it's not as long term a thing. But Dory being placed on injured reserve means he's only going to miss at least three games, including last night's. You know, depending on the severity of the injury itself. We know it's a knee issue. It popped up, I believe it was Thursday's practice that he suffered that injury. You know, he was a late addition to the practice report last week, and then he didn't practice the following day. So we don't, you know, exactly know the severity of the injury. It was a surprise because, you know, up until that point, he hadn't appeared on the injury report. And, you know, by all accounts was feeling good and playing well in practices, you know, so it's something to continue to monitor. Again, we don't know the severity of his injury at this point, but, you know, he'll be eligible to return, in week four, you know, early October. So, you know, that's a silver lining and the Titans could certainly use him out there, you know, as their top corner. Last night, you know, we saw a lot of Chris Jackson, some Christian Fulton, Jonathan Joseph. But if you get a Dory back out there, you know, that's really big.
Right, and let's hope that it's only in the neighborhood of three games. But in the meantime, I think, Eric, it's fair to say that they are going to face better passing attacks. And now Chris Jackson and Christian Fulton come on down. You know, they're going to have to get mileage out of those guys. I still see a secondary that's a little bit thin. That's got to be a bit of a concern in the short term.
Yeah, and honestly, it was a little surprising to see Chris Jackson kind of thrust into the role that he was last night, you know, ahead of a guy like Christian Fulton. Chris Jackson was on the field before Fulton got in there. Fulton really only came in for the first time after Jonathan Joseph got shook up a little bit and Fulton spelled him in there. But, you know, Chris Jackson has drawn high praise, you know, from the coaching staff. Kevin Byard went off about him in a positive way. During the practice week last week, you know, said a lot of really positive things about him, about his work ethic and all of that. And, you know, I think Christian Fulton missing as much time as he did in training camp. He missed probably 10 or so days. I think it was seven or eight practices, you know, with an injury. You know, I think that loomed large as far as his readiness, you know, for week one, just because those reps are so valuable for a rookie, you know. So I think with no preseason games and coupled with missing some training camp time, takes a little bit of time for him to get up to speed. So, you know, I think for both of those guys, last night's game was important experience. I think it's a situation where as we go along, you know, they'll get more comfortable, get more acclimated, and, you know, that should, you know, bode well for the performance going forward.
Eric, I look at it from the Broncos' perspective. They probably feel like they did a pretty good job on Derrick Henry, and yet he still had 113 yards, but they didn't give up any of the big plays. They had a lot of success, but that just shows you, you know, the expectation level for Henry and what he does. It took a lot to hold him to 116 yards.
Yeah, it's funny because I think either way you look at it, you could see it in a positive light. The Broncos held him to 3.7 yards per carry, which is, you know, a pretty big deal for the leading rusher in 2019. Henry's longest yard only went for 13 yards, so they really limited his ability to break a big run or break a home run type run. But at the same time, I think, you know, from the Titans' perspective, there's certainly something to be said, you know, about a guy that continues to grind, continues to sort of methodically carve out yardage. And, you know, he got 116 yards. It did take 31 carries. But, you know, the Titans are now 14-0 all time when Henry goes above 100 yards rushing. So, you know, I think yards were hard to come by for Henry and the Titans' offensive line yesterday. But to me, it wasn't by any means, you know, a bad performance. It was just, you know, a situation where the Denver defense, even without Von Miller, is pretty good. And they stuck with the game plan, continued to roll with Henry. And, you know, I think it was overall a positive result for the rushing offense.
Talking with Eric Bacharach of the Tennessean, covers the Titans for them. So clearly Corey Davis, a huge story from last night's game. 7 catches for 101 yards. Looked like a completely different player, had some confidence. Do you think that some of that can be attributed to, you know, he's, I guess, viewed as the number 2 wide receiver, and now it's just go out there and play your game? But what did you make overall of Corey Davis's performance?
Yeah, you know, to me, he looked motivated. He looked like a guy that is in a contract year that didn't have his fifth-year option picked up and, you know, was trying to prove something. We know that he was questionable heading into the game with the hamstring injury. Both Mike Vrabel and A.J. Brown said after the game that, you know, that they don't know if he was 100%. And then A.J. Brown followed that by saying he played with 100% effort. And I think that much was clear. His 101 yards receiving were more than he had in any game in 2019. And look, if the Titans can get, you know, some semblance of that every game from Corey Davis, I don't, you know, he's not going to go over 100 yards receiving every game. But if he can be consistently there, you know, I think that's an element of the offense that really wasn't consistent last year. You know, you pair that with you figure A.J. Brown's going to bounce back from the game that he had yesterday. Adam Humphries was a factor. Again, it kind of felt like yardage was hard to come by, and it was more dinking and dunking than anything. But if you're able to get, you know, regular contributions from Corey Davis as far as his receiving production, you know, I think that's an element of the offense that, you know, wasn't there last season and, you know, could play a really big part in the Titans offense this year.
One of the knocks, Eric, on Mariota was that if he didn't have the first read, that's where it got dicey. Obviously, last night, Tannehill was passing the ball around. He targeted, I believe, 10 different players through the air. Is this what Arthur Smith has been hoping for so he can open up his playbook, because he knows that Tannehill's going to be able to go through his progressions and get the ball where it needs to go?
Yeah, I think so. I think it was a situation, again, where the Broncos defense was pretty good. The first read was not always open. And, you know, Tannehill found a way to stretch it out to, you know, a bunch of different receivers. You had, I think it was 4 guys, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, A.J. Brown, Jonnu Smith, who all got at least 7 targets. You know, so that's spreading the ball around, making the most of what's, you know, a talented pass catching core. And, you know, to me, if you could get those regular contributions from all of those guys, you're in good shape. You know, the defense doesn't have to just focus on A.J. Brown. And, you know, to me, it's a testament to Tannehill's, focus and just poise in the pocket. You know, completed 67% of his passes, about 250, passing yards, didn't throw a pick. Was sacked only once. So, you know, I think he he made the most of his opportunities out there, even when things were not available on the first read.
How would you evaluate the depth on defense specifically when Rashawn Evans got thrown out, Will Compton got a lot of playing time? I know David Long was in there some too in different packages, but that's one thing that John Robinson has been pretty good at since he's been here, is building the depth of this team. What did you think about it last night?
You know, it's obviously not ideal when you've got Will Compton thrust in there for as many snaps as he was in there, you know, playing three quarters. But, you know, he was a four-game starter for the Raiders last year. I think, you know, he, as far as depth pieces go, he's a quality add. And I think, you know, David Long behind him is solid as well. He came on late last year as a rookie. You know, I think it boils down to you just don't expect Rashawn Evans to lose his cool like that. And he kind of puts you in an awkward spot and in a tough spot as far as the depth goes. But, you know, I think those guys did a fairly good job of replacing Evans, who, you know, we know is poised for a big year this year. You know, Compton was in, I believe he combined with Jeffrey Simmons on one of those really big goal line tackles. So, you know, I think he played an important part in the game yesterday. And as far as the depth on the whole, I think it's solid. You know, as far as the outside linebacking depth, last night that was an interesting situation just because you only had three guys available at that position with Clowney, Harold Landry, Kamalai Correa. But you have to figure at some point soon you get Derek Roberson, Vic Beasley back. And, you know, when those guys do get back, I think that position, you know, goes from liability, which it was in years past, to one of the strengths of this defense. So, you know, I think on the whole, the depth is something positive, but you just don't want to be put in a situation like you were last night when you have one of your star linebackers get ejected early.
Now we'll see who can get off to a 2-0 start in the AFC South. That's what's on the line this week. Eric, thanks for the visit. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Eric Bacharach covers the Titans for the Tennessean. And we'll come back. More reaction from you. Your thoughts on last night's victory over the Titans Broncos. What stood out to you? What did you like? What concerned you? We'll take your phone calls, also your text. Weigh in. Let's talk. We'll do that on the other side here on this Tuesday morning. Darren, Donnick, and Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.
You brought up Corey also. 7 catches on 7 targets, 100 yards. This was one of his better games for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, really proud of his effort to get himself to this game. You know, and I think admittedly, probably not at 100%, but was happy to present him with a game ball in there in front of the team for his effort and toughness and competitiveness.
There you go, Mike Vrabel, head coach, talking at 12:30 today. We'll hear what he has to say in a little bit over an hour. Back here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase, talking about the performance of Corey Davis last night, which was a good one. 7 catches for 101 yards. He was targeted 8 times, and he pulled in 7 of those. By the way, Silly Underdog Picks is back. You love the game. We love the game. We want you to participate with us. Get your family members, get your friends, your coworkers, your neighbors. Play along with us this year. Every Thursday at noon, we will make our picks. You also have the opportunity to get in there and make your 3 selections as the listeners. And this year, you get either 3 college games or 3 pro games, or a combination of however you want to do it. Because of the uncertainty with the college football schedule, we decided we would open it up and have the NFL games in there as well. We had a lot of fun with it. We pick 1 college and 1 pro game. We did it last Thursday, and it was a lot of fun. We got some winners. We'll recap and do it again this Thursday at noon. This week's prize will be a $25 party foul gift card on the line. You can just go to thegamenashville.com or ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks with us every Thursday on the program. All right, what did we make of Corey Davis's performance? He had the most catches of anybody. Adam Humphries had 6 for 47. A.J. Brown had 5 catches. Corey Davis putting in a big night, and as Mike Vrabel said, was banged up. I mean, there was a time during the week you weren't even sure if he was going to play, dealing with a hamstring injury?
Yes.
Yep.
And yet, which brings back
he toughed
some
it out and he played.
I that's the only thing I worry about is I hope that, because we know how hamstrings can linger, and you're so encouraged that he has this game, you'd hope there's not a setback. But You guys know I've been a big defender of his for a while. I thought that was a great example of this offense. They go where the matchup is. If you try to roll your coverage to A.J. Brown, it took a while for them to get A.J. Brown involved at all, and he still ended up with a couple of key catches. It wasn't his best game, but he made an impact. Probably should have had the game-clinching touchdown, right? The game-winning touchdown at the end. If the throw's a little bit better, you know, the matchup was there. The play was drawn up perfectly. It might have been a better night stat-wise, look-wise for A.J. Brown, but I think Corey Davis does what he's asked to do. I think we know that he's not spectacular. That tag of the fifth pick in the draft, we got to get past that. And nobody ever will. He'll always have that tag until maybe he goes somewhere else. But I still see a guy that helps a team win. And maybe this is the start of a career year for him, and that would make a really intriguing decision that they would have to make at the end of the season.
I think there is something to be said for the psychological thing of not having the pressure of having to live up to that fifth overall pick, because now what's done is done. It just, he hasn't lived up to it. We know that it's been, I guess, been accepted. And he looked like a confident guy making those plays last night. Tannehill had confidence in him throwing it to him. You know, there were times last year that he'd be open, but Tannehill wouldn't throw to him. And we know that there were some, you know, injury things and all of that. But you could just feel it last night that he knew he was going to make the play. Tannehill knew he was going to make the play. And that's what happened. And if that's how he plays every game for the rest of the season, then he is going to be a weapon for this team. I want to see him get in the end zone. He has not gotten in the end zone a lot in his career. I would like to see that change. You know, take a little pressure off of A.J. Brown, because now the league is very, very aware of A.J. Brown. Adam Humphreys can be added to the mix as well. So I was glad to see it. And Teron Davenport, I'll give him credit. He did say during the 1 o'clock hour that he thought he made a bold prediction. He said A.J. Brown would go over 100 and Corey Davis would go over 100. He was wrong on A.J. Brown, but he got it with Corey Davis.
You can't say in the same breath, he'll never get over the tag, but we need to get over it. Like, you can't say that in the same breath. Like, we're never going to – it's never going to get past it. It's just what it is.
No.
Like, you don't ever get past that.
But you have to set aside that I don't think he's suddenly going to become a guy that catches 90 passes and 1,500 yards, but he's a guy that can help you win. That is my expectation. I've lowered my expectation level from what you would hope the fifth pick in the draft. I'm over that. So, for me, I think solid numbers around 1,000 yards, that's very doable for him. It depends on how many times they throw to him. Last night, it ended up being he was the guy they went to more than anybody.
Targeted
and he
eight times.
And he produced.
Well, he and AJ that's were targeted the same amount of times. They were both targeted eight times.
It's about consistency. He is in year four.
It's also how many times they throw to him. If they throw to him three times,
Willie,
that's all you can do.
If you're deserving and you're open and you're there, they're going to find you, okay? Let's not blame the quarterback on why he hasn't. If he was A.J. Brown got it because he created those opportunities.
It has nothing to do with blame. It's if
in the rookie season.
If you give the running back the ball 31 times.
If you're not on the field all the time and you're not creating separation or you're not doing certain things, you don't get the ball.
They're not running.
That's how it is.
They're not running the run and shoot.
They didn't say, you know what, let's avoid Corey Davis. That's not what they've done for three plus years.
It's a running attack. It's a running-based offense.
And A.J. Brown was in a running attack with the leading rusher in the NFL last year, and he got plenty of catches and opportunities.
Yes, because he emerged
as
the
number
one guy.
He creates the opportunity.
Yes.
So it's up to you to create the opportunity.
No question. But that somebody is going to get the ball less when you have a run-based offense. It's not like Warren Moon in the run and shoot.
And
where
A.J. Brown is past Corey Davis. And so it's Corey Davis. It's about consistency. It's about trying. He's not going to go for 7 and 101 every week. But the biggest problem that he's had is creating consistency. At this level, you need to be more consistent. You can't be there 1 week and disappear for 3 weeks.
Well,
I'd
just
can't
love
do
to
that.
See him stay out there for 16 games. There are going to be games where he
Well, that's part of creating consistency. You got to be available, too.
I completely agree. But I think there's going to be some games where Humphreys is the guy targeted more just because of that's how they're being defended. Or Johnny
Smith's
going to
play to the
matchups ball more. This is a committee attack for the most part, other than Henry. It all is based off of Derrick Henry, and that opens things up for everybody else. And I think that's the rhythm that I see for a good, effective offense. That's how they're going to go about it. It's not all of a sudden going to be, let's throw it to Corey Davis, you know, 10, 12 times a game because he had a good game. I think he's a role player.
It's committee because, exactly right, because they have role players at wide receiver except for A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown's going to get his. He's going to be the first look because he is the number one, and he's deserved that. Everybody else is committee because that's what they are. That's not a doesn't that's not a bad
still
thing.
Not, yeah, it's not.
But
the
they
end
are
of
committee
the world.
For a reason. That's the like Tampa doesn't. They never were committee because they had Mike Evans and Chris Godwin came on last year. So they've got this powerful 1-2 punch. Like you have to create that. Sometimes you're a committee because that's the cards you've been dealt, and that's okay. That's what they are. I would like to see Corey Davis, like, this is great. Like, that's – last night was really good. It was nice to see that. It's about then, okay, what's the follow-up to that? Is next week two catches for 18 yards?
It depends on the game plan.
That's the problem. But that's not good enough.
It is good enough.
No,
yeah,
it's
why
not.
Isn't
no,
it good
it's
enough?
Winning. Because he is a good role player. He's a number two wide receiver on a winning team.
Then your number two wide receiver shouldn't have two catches for 18 yards.
Some weeks he does.
Yeah, but
Aaron,
what if AJ?
It's not all about fantasy where every week everybody gets the passes they want to get. They spread the ball around a lot and they run the ball a lot. They're not throwing it 50 times.
What if AJ?
Well, wait a minute.
Brown
they threw 43 last night.
And that's part of the reason he had seven catches, because they did throw it more. But they ran a lot of plays. They had a lot of very long, sustained drives. They had 78 plays. They're not going to have 78 plays every week.
It's up to you to create the opportunities. It's in the players to create. If you are doing the right things, you will get
team.
The opportunities, period.
It's the team.
Period.
You do what you need to do.
Look,
team to
if
win.
You, like you have in the past, want to continue to make excuses for people, you can do that.
I'm not making
I'm
any
not
excuses.
Going to.
He is what he is.
I don't have an excuse bucket.
No, you have
I
an
don't.
Expectation problem. You are married
expectation
to
problem?
The fifth pick in the draft has to have 1,500 yards,
no,
is, what you,
that's
is
not.
What you think.
I've already moved way past that. That's on record.
I have, too.
When
and
I
so
told
I think,
you a long time ago he wasn't that, when you kept defending that he was.
I'm defending him for
and so
being
I've
a
known
winning
what
player.
He is. You had troubles accepting what he was. I knew you. Years ago,
no.
What he was.
Do you hear me saying, hey, they need to sign him to, pay him like Randy Moss? No, I'm just saying he is what he is, and he's pretty good at the role that he plays. And I think he's going to be better.
More. Be more consistent.
I
That's
think
it.
He's going to be better this year.
Let's hope so. I mean, he's got nowhere to go but up.
But I also am not going to sit there and say if he has a career year that they should turn around and open up the checkbook. This might be it, no matter what. But I think he'll be a pretty attractive free agent.
I don't care about
the
contract right now. I just want him to make plays.
I want him to be a winning player.
And this text makes sense, too. Ron comes in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. To settle the argument, they will make opportunities for each other. When they double one, the other will get the opportunity and vice versa. If that's the case, and Darren, I understand that you look at it as, okay, he's more of the role player and it's inconsistencies, and I don't disagree with you because his whole career has been inconsistent. But if A.J. Brown gets it going, he did have five receptions last night for 39 yards. If he gets it going and has a year like he did last year, and Corey Davis can have solid games like he did last night, then I think that very much can happen, that you know that you have a true number one and a true number two, and you're going to have to pay attention to both of them. And, oh, by the way, Adam Humphreys getting his, Jonnu Smith getting his, spreading the ball around. I love that this offense is set up where it's not just, you know it's Derrick Henry, but it's not centered around just one right wide receiver, even though A.J. Brown has shown that he is the number one guy.
Well, let me give you the best example I've got, because you can relate to this because of all the weeks we were there at the stadium watching Floyd Reese teams. Albert Haynesworth did what for other guys? Guys that were role
players. Makes everybody
better. Right. And what did they do? They responded, right? They cashed in. They got big contracts elsewhere because they cashed in because he created and drew so much attention that they were role players. And they proved that when they moved on somewhere else and they didn't have an Albert Haynesworth, that they weren't worth the big contracts and they weren't worth it. They were truly just role players. And there's nothing wrong with role players, but they weren't the level that they were getting paid. They created those opportunities. The point is, A.J. Brown is what he is, and he is going to get the best matchup every week. He is going to get their best every week because they know how good he is, and he's deserved that. He is really good. He is a matchup problem, but they're going to throw their best at A.J. Brown, which then does what? It should create opportunities for other guys to take advantage of that. Just like guys that we saw for years on that Titans defensive line front, whether it was Travis LeBoy. I mean, we can go through the list of these guys that got paid elsewhere, and I was like, ooh. They cashed in here. They took advantage of a guy like Albert Haynesworth creating all kinds of attention, and they created their own little niche. They took advantage of matchups. And I would like to see Corey Davis do that because he's not going to get the team's best. They're putting the best on A.J. Brown. So create your little niche and create your opportunities with the lesser player on you because you're not the number one. That's what I would like to see from him. Do what those guys that we saw year after year on the defensive line that would take advantage of either a Kyle Vandenbosch or an Albert Haynesworth, guys that can do that now with Jeffrey Simmons and Clowney, right? Because all the attention is going to go to those two guys. And now it's time, hey, Harold Landry, man, have at it, man. Go blow some people up. All the attention's on those guys.
Right.
You know,
I completely agree.
Something for yourself. Jayon Brown, create something for yourself because all the attention is on those guys. I would like to see Corey Davis do that as well.
We all agree on that. I think we just get where we get separated is expectation level. Because I've come to grips with Corey Davis is not a guy that changes the game by being on the field like you would hope a fifth pick in the draft does. He's not that. It's been pretty apparent for a long time. But he is a good, solid player who I think, in my mind, can do exactly what you're saying. He can be the complement to A.J. Brown and a good piece of a pretty diverse offense that has a lot of different guys who can make a play so much better than it looked 2 or 3 years ago when they're looking around going, do they have any – how many wide receivers do they have? Do they have two wide receivers they can use? I mean, they have some guys now where the roles are defined. You know, Michael Pruitt makes a catch for a touchdown. Firkser makes a couple of catches. Different weeks, it's different guys. I think just Corey Davis is part of that committee.
Corey in Bellevue said, not Corey Davis, but Corey in Bellevue says, love it when Willie and Darren get into it. I can only imagine the facial expressions by Chase mocking the action.
What are your facial expressions?
I just, there are times with you two, because you've done this for so long, that I just have to lean back and just listen.
Bucket of popcorn?
Yep, because if I try and jump in the middle, I'm going to get hurt. So I just have
but
to
But we're not
that.
In the same room anymore, so that doesn't really apply.
No. No, when we're in the same room, I've learned like, okay, you just need to let them fight for a second. But you both make good points. I mean, and Darren, you and I have been kind of on the same page of letting the fifth overall pick go, that he hasn't lived up to it. But my point is, and it's one game, I agree, gotta see it again. He's gotta do it again. But last night it appeared that he just knew his role. He knew what he needed to do. He knew his role. The ball came his way, and he made a play. That's all I'm asking him to do. He doesn't have to be a 1,000-yard receiver. If they somehow got two 1,000-yard receivers, that'd be great. With Derrick Henry in play, I don't see that happening. But go out, make the plays, get your 700, 800 yards, something like that. Get in the end zone more. That's fine. And then if the Titans pay him, great. If he goes somewhere else, okay. But at least it would, because if that happens, then you know that he's helping the team win this season.
I am perplexed at how he doesn't get in the end zone more. That is one that I have
never been
able to figure out. Do we all agree that he's got good hands?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. He's got
size.
Like,
why is he a guy? Wow. Wow. Then
thanks.
Why can't he take his good hands and use that for touchdowns in the red zone? I've never understood why he doesn't get more touchdowns in the red zone. I'm not talking about 45-yard touchdowns. I'm talking about why don't they use him more in the red zone? He's got good hands. He's a big frame. Why not use him?
Well, I'll give you a big part of the answer.
What does he have, five or six touchdowns in his career?
Six.
But let's go back and put it in context. Is this a team that struggles to score in the red zone?
No.
Most of the time, Derrick Henry just runs it in, or they throw the three tight ends, and they do what they did last night on the 4th and 1 or earlier in the game where you fake it to Henry and somebody's open. They have their ways of scoring, so that's part of it.
You understand, that's my point. Like, why is it Firkser or Mykole Pruitt and not Corey Davis?
Because
that is my point.
Because that's what's there. It's effective, so they don't need to do anything else.
So that's Corey Davis is never open. He's never open in the end zone. Only those guys are open.
Why would you do anything different when you have the ball inside the five? Of either give it to Henry or fake it to Henry and go to the tight ends. It works so often. Why would you do anything else?
Because other wide receivers score in the league.
That's your fantasy football mentality. I know you've drafted Corey Davis about five times in your leagues, and you're disappointed every year. And we got him this year.
No, that's actually
not true. So you're a little concerned. You're concerned that you passed him up. You passed him up on the last.
I did.
He could have been your Mr. Irrelevant. You left him to Chase and I.
And I took who?
And we took him.
And I took who?
We don't care. We don't care who you took.
But what did he do this
week? But you've been burned.
Pretty good week.
You have to admit that your fantasy football focus. No. You're all about the stats and how many touchdowns. I'm looking for winning football. And the Titans play winning football in the red zone, so it doesn't concern me as much. I just go back to he's a role player. He's
so
playing his role.
If you want somebody to score touchdowns, it's only because of fantasy.
Who cares who scores the touchdown on a winning football team? Nobody. Nobody cares who gets the credit.
Well, if nobody cares, I don't know why we're having this conversation. Why are we even having this conversation? If it doesn't matter and nobody cares who does what, then why are we even talking about it?
Because the team scores. As long as the team scores and the team wins, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. You're executing. You're playing your role. On the team, Derrick Henry is the horse. He's the main man. Everything's going to run through him.
Everything is beautiful. Tyrikus, what's up?
Yo, what's up, man? It kind of shocked me off. Y'all got me off guard right there. I just want to talk to him. It was one Corey Davis kid. He didn't even know he got on the sideline. I was like, yo. But I think, like y'all said, man, it's all about matchups, man. It's all about who's on you, because you know, A.J. Boyd, man, when he went down, you started to see your boy catch more balls, man.
Yeah, and who was he on when he was in there?
County, man. I mean, the first three plays, he was in the backfield. I'm talking about. He was blowing it up. I just want to know what you guys think about
right, before Boye got hurt, who was he on, Tyrikus? He was on who? A.J. Brown.
A.J., yeah.
Right.
And when A.J. Brown went up against A.J. Boye, in the game against Jacksonville, the second game against Jacksonville last year, I mean,
he actually tore him up pretty good.
Tore him up. So,
well, players get better when they don't wear a Jags jersey.
Yeah, but apparently.
Apparently.
that's what I hear.
Although right now they're 1-0, so, you know, who's laughing?
Yeah, but I will say, Tyrikus brings up a great point. That catch by Corey Davis, and, you know, initially – it looked like, all right, yeah, he didn't get it. But then they showed that replay, which the officials obviously had to look at. I was like, holy cow.
That's what I'm saying. We've seen spectacular catches from him. That's my point. He's got really good hands. This is not the only time we've seen him make a tremendous catch. Like, wow, okay.
But there are things that he does well. And, right, like, I do think this is where Arthur Smith deserves a lot of credit. He is pretty good at defining what these guys do well. What does Corey Davis do well? He's pretty good on crossing routes, right? He's usually a guy that's going to cross and catch and get that intermediate. He's not a vertical route guy. You don't see them go deep to him down the sideline very often. You don't see them throw wide receiver screens. So I go back to role player. He's a role player playing his role. They're working to his strength. Now, A.J. Brown's a guy that on a crossing route can stop on a dime, twist, pivot, going the other way, and turn a small play into a big play. Corey Davis is not a guy that really does that. Jonnu Smith is a guy that you flip it out into space on a screen, and he's almost like a running back who's big, can make people miss, and then run over people. That's where they try to get him the ball. I just really like the mentality of Arthur Smith trying to put players in play to their strengths, role players. Like Corey Davis is a role player.
And if Corey Davis needs to lean on A.J. Brown being, you know, being the top receiver, and that's going to make Corey Davis better, to your point, Darren, like you were saying earlier with the Haynesworth comparison, fine. I don't care. Whatever is effective. It doesn't matter. And, you know, yeah, he's never going to shake the tag of fifth overall pick, but if he has found his role, can stay consistent in that role and help this team, then I don't really care how he goes about it. Just get there.
Looking at your all's team this week, maybe you should have played Corey Davis, but you had him on your bench.
Yeah, we did.
Low for the week. We'll come back, wrap up the second. Yeah.
Back to the drawing board.
Uh-huh.
When are pickups this week?
Right now. We need to talk.
Text me. Text me during the break, Jason.
All right, we'll come back, wrap up the second hour. Michael Griffin coming up at high noon here on Darren, Donnick, and Chase. ESPN 102.5 The Game.
With Corey being able to do as much as he did tonight, Mike, it seems like you guys stuck with the run and stuck with Derek, even though it wasn't exactly explosive throughout the course of the game, grinding him down late. What was the approach with sticking with the run and understanding that Derek was going to be able to help you regardless of how that went?
I mean, I think that's what you have to do. That's a good defense. I mean, I think you start dropping back and throwing it all over the place, or, you know, That's an excellent defense. You know, we came out here and didn't score last year. And they're well coached. They got really good players. So this was a good test off the bat for all of us.
There you go. Deep voice guy asking Mike Vrabel about last night's game. Deep voice guy, once an intern on this show.
Yep.
You know, I think it speaks a lot to the identity. Right, sticking with the running game, if that's what the Titans have to do. If they don't, I think it's not a good recipe.
Yeah, it's their bread and butter. But here's my question. This is kind of how I got to this point. I put on Twitter at Chase on Game, just besides kicking, what's a concern that you have? And got a response. My biggest issue for this team, even above kicker, is the backup running back spot. Not going to be able to run Henry a gazillion times a game and then bring in some random guy in third down, showing that we're going to pass it each time. We need Evans back or go get one. And that's from Joseph S0517 on Twitter. I completely agree with that. 31 carries for Derrick Henry last night, 116 yards. Okay, great. But you can't. This is something we've talked about. There's tread left on the tires, but you can't expect that every game. And not that that's going to happen, but part of the reason for drafting Darrington Evans was to have a more effective back behind Derrick Henry, and he's in the tub. He can't, you know, he's hurt.
He's in the tub.
Right.
And do you think right now he's in the tub?
He could be. I don't know. So
11:51 was tub time, 11 a.m.? Or at 11:30 a.m.?
It could have been earlier. Could have been, you know, bright and early this morning. Go get in the tub. Is it the hot tub or the cold tub?
Could be the hot tub, could be the cold tub.
Well, there's two guys out there that fit this.
Well, and this
Devontae Freeman and Lamar Miller are two guys that could be change of pace guys that can catch the ball and help them in that department.
With the uncertainty of that, because Evans has missed a lot of time in training camp. And I know it's a weird off season, and it has been, but this team, they can't wait on him. So you bring up Devontae Freeman. It was reported by Josina Anderson that he's got it down to four teams, that he's deciding between four teams. Doesn't say which team, you know, which teams. But I do wonder if the Tennessee Titans have inquired. They have, after the Clowney signing, roughly $4 million in cap space. We know that they're past that week one, that they don't have to guarantee the contract. So I feel
I think they've got more than that because Bayard just restructured.
Oh, okay, yeah. Then they do have a
little
bit
more. They
got
like $9 million.
Right.
They usually – this is a strength of John Robinson, I think. He's pretty good at keeping himself some wiggle room in his salary cap year in, year out to do things like this, to have the flexibility of making a move like this if he wants to.
Yeah, I think signing Devontae Freeman or Lamar Miller, but Devontae Freeman would be my first choice.
Would you go there?
I would.
You guys are ready to
apparently Indianapolis is looking pretty hard at Lamar Miller, I guess, because of Marlon Mack being out for the year.
Yeah, and I'm not closing the door on Darrington Evans at all. That's not what I'm saying. But he's just he's not on the field. He hasn't been able to
practice. Do we think he's a long way away, kind of like Isaiah Wilson, long way away?
Or I don't know, but he's a rookie.
This is what's hard when you don't get to really see practice and there's no preseason games. I wonder how far he is from getting in there. And we do have to give McNichols credit for running the ball after your helmet has been ripped off. That was pretty cool.
No, it wasn't cool. It was crazy.
Totally crazy. But I give that guy credit for like saying, you know what, my helmet's off, but I got to get this first down.
Yeah, I know. But I was like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, my. Yeah, I was, too. We were freaking out. But that was a big play. So they actually had enough confidence in him to put him in there in the two-minute drive.
It was a Jason Witten type play.
Yeah, they had him in the two-minute drill at the end of the first half. They had him in there on some key. He had a little package there for him. But I agree that that's got to be a discussion today is where are we on the compliment to Derrick Henry? Because there are some games where you want to ride the horse, 31 carries. What do you have, three other catches? So 34 touches, but you can't do that every week.
Yeah. And Devontae Freeman fits what they need in that position. I mean, you can catch the ball, you know, you can run it. He fits that spot, and you're not asking him to come in here and be the lead back. You're not asking him to, you know, hit a home run every time. But
you're not giving him a guaranteed contract.
Nope, not giving him a guaranteed contract. I would rather take my chances, you know, with him, knowing that there's uncertainty with Evans right now, you know, with the health of Evans. Plus, then you take a little pressure off of Evans that you're not having to rush to get him up to speed. You know, you have a veteran that can come in here. Yeah, he's got to learn the offense, but he's a pro. I feel like it would be a good move for the Titans to do that.
So you haven't seen, it says, what do we think of McNichols? Is he just a space eater?
I think he's a guy. I think he's just a guy.
There's a reason that he's been on a lot of practice squads and hasn't made rosters.
He's basically just been a practice squad guy, and there's nothing wrong. You know, I applaud what he did last night. That was, by the way, it was a huge play to get his helmet ripped off.
It was an important
play
in the game.
Yeah, and it was a huge advantage for the Titans. But I mean, he's just a practice squad guy. That's just what he is.
I mean, Freeman, too. What is Freeman like? We know he's not what he was when they went to the Super Bowl.
If you're in a pinch, but you know, in this case, this is not a pinch. I mean, it was, but. Who knows when Evans is going to be, when he's available, and when he is, who knows what he is? Kind of what Willie, what you were saying.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah,
he's a rookie with no preseason. Rookie, no preseason, and barely any practices. So who knows what he is?
That's, in fact, if you look at the Athletic, you know, Joe's post game report, he chronicles this that opening day, other than Chris Jackson, who was a pleasant surprise in how much he played, and Christian Fulton, who's, you know, sort of disappointingly not jumped in there and grabbed a spot, but he did play some. Those are the only two guys that even saw the field that they drafted.
Yep.
The other guys were AWOL for one reason or another.
That's not good.
It's a concern, and I'm not using the excuse of
the one didn't make the roster.
Yeah. Yeah, Cole McDonald.
So cross him off the list.
Where is he? Is he even on a practice squad?
Who knows?
I don't know. Is June Jones a coach anywhere in the NFL? He'd probably take a Hawaii quarterback.
Cole McDonald.
At least on a practice squad.
Could be on the farm.
All right, we'll come back. Former Titans safety Michael Griffin to start the third hour of Darren Donick and Chase. Also, Mike Vrabel in the third hour. We'll hear what his reaction was to the win last night and moving forward. Those are things on tap here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.